Contact left microphone.
Yes, hi there. Total Sorter's obviously not in her office, is she?
No.
Is she in the building, do you know? Thank you. Yes, hi, Sital. It's Farid Al-Dawani, I'm afraid. Hi there. Has my lawyer, Carsten Jorna, got in touch with you yet?
Huh?
My lawyer. Has he got in touch with you yet? Because I think he's tried to... Yeah, he told me he tried to call you on a couple of occasions, but he tried yesterday, he said. No. What was yesterday? No, I think he tried Monday. Monday. Were you out Monday? Yeah, that's right. He said he phoned. But anyway, his name's Carsten Jorna. You know him? Hmm. Yeah. He's the one I've chosen, but he's he's had all my papers since the end of January, but he's such a busy fella that it's going to take a little while for him to come to grips with everything. But he wants to have a chat to you, see what's going on. But obviously, yeah, I think he's gone to Trondheim this week, so it'll probably be next week. But oh, okay, it's all right. Well, I'll leave it to him. But the thing is, there's still one or two things that he'll have to know. And, some of the things that you have said that Heidi says I'm lying about, yeah? Now, you've told me that in 1985, after Christmas, that she's telling you that she has a boyfriend, yeah? Yeah, you know, the reason she doesn't want... Yeah. Yeah, that was... when exactly... Was this after my first visit, or before my second visit, or in between, do you know, roughly? The second time, yeah. Did was this the only boyfriend she had? Yeah. Yeah. So she didn't tell you that she was also having sexual relations with another man? No. Well, she was having sexual relations with a chap I knew called Bjorn Morton. And he also thought he was the father of Daniel, you see. So it's not really honest of Heidi to say that she had a boyfriend, because she was sleeping with two men at the same time. Yeah, that's right, you know. And she also, I visited her, and then she had another boy visit her from England that used to be her boyfriend in England. So it's... Yes, well, I know both these men, and I know that this is an Italian boy. He's also a lawyer, and I know I can ring him up any time I want, and Heidi knows she visited him after I visited her for the second time. Now, I mean, he saw her parents saw him. I mean, there's no dispute about that. She knows who she is, who he is, Italian boy, used to be her boyfriend in England before I met her. But I mean, she may not have told you this, but you know, there are actually four of us who are seeing her in this time after Christmas and up to Easter. So she was sleeping with two of them, and I visited her and then another chap. So, you know, she liked lots of men, and it's not really fair to say that she had a boyfriend, because she said the only thing that she had in common with Goodman Johansson was good sex. And with her personality and background, it's not really love. I don't think you can call it love, because you don't have two boyfriends on the go at the same time. Because this other chap, Bjorn Morton, was a good looking chap, and I knew she liked him, because when I visited her at Christmas, she told me she liked him and wanted to be friends with him, and they met, and I met him. You know, he's a nice chap. He's now got he had quadruplets. His wife had gave birth to four at once, but anyway, you know, Heidi obviously didn't tell you about Bjorn Morton, did she? No, that's right. Well, that's something obviously that is a little bit sneaky of Heidi, because I'm trying to prove that she is a bit of a slut, you know, a good... No, I don't, but my point is that she's hiding things from you, and, you know, you everybody says, well, oh, you can't be telling the truth about all these things, it's too much, you know, this...
have done in her
earlier life. Mm. The only thing they have to care about is the things who have happening between you and her. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, but my point is that she's a liar and she hides things. Well, she's not paid, but she likes sleeping with lots of men. Yeah.
I don't have anything to do with that.
No, that's right, but the point is, you see, I'm trying to tell people her past, and I have not lied about it, you see. And the thing is, you see, yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, and the newspaper. Yeah, that may be so, but my case is that she told the whole country about me. No, it didn't. But it doesn't matter. She still told lies about me, and one or two people did know it was me. You know, the people I knew in Norway, they did know it was me, and certainly if. Well, they didn't know, obviously, that there were allegations I've threatened to kill her son and neighbours, and that I've written 400 obscene letters. They didn't know any of that, obviously, and they were quite shocked. And I'm sure, you know, maybe one or two of them maybe believed it, and it's a hard job for me to disprove it. But, you know, I mean, I've been told by one or two Norwegians that are very sympathetic to me that the story wouldn't have been printed if I wasn't Muslim. Oh, I think it certainly is. Yeah, that's right. But I mean, if one or two Norwegians, they tell me that people are brought up in Norway from a young age to think that Muslims basically are heathen, that they're really awful rubbish because they're not Christian. And I can, even one of the first letters Heidi sent me in the early 80s was to say basically what a load of rubbish Muslims were. And she told me that how angry her parents would be if they thought she was marrying a Muslim man, and also for her husband to tell me Allah doesn't exist, come to Jesus. All these things it's so obvious that Muslims are not liked in Norway. I mean, well, yeah, but the thing is, I mean, these people are telling me voluntarily that the story wouldn't have been published if you weren't Muslim. So, you know, I... Yeah, but they also said to me that this little sheet in Norwegian that I sent to everybody, they said that they didn't believe it. It was crap. That's right, so... Yeah, that's right, exactly. So, let me... what exactly... Has she admitted, for instance, that she's had two abortions? No, but, you see... No. Yes, but what is she saying then? What you see, the newspapers have said that it was this one sheet that they have said is crap. Now, what exactly is crap about it? What's wrong about it? What is a lie about it?
What's wrong?
Yeah, what is the...
But you are writing letters about her with her picture and her name, and you send it to people around in Norway.
No, that was after the newspapers printed the story. Yeah, that's right. But I only did that because of the rubbish. So what am I supposed to do when she says I threatened to kill her son? And if the newspaper... Yeah, I did. I did. I did many times. Huh? Absolutely nothing. I sent everything to the Norwegian embassy here in London at the time. And he said, his name was Ivar Stensrud, one of the attachés here at the embassy in London, and I have a letter back from him on my file. He said all he can do is send everything on to Krogvold in Bergen. I have sent everything to the Bergen... No, in Bergen. No, not with you, but with... No. I spoke to the embassy here in London, okay, and they sent the papers to Bergen, not to you. Yes, I did, and eventually they said there's nothing we can do here. We've given everything to Krogvold. So I phoned up Krogvold and he said he's not going to do anything, you see. So obviously... when I see such injustice, then I began my campaign. But I told the newspapers, I sent my whole case to them, and I expected an apology. I expected some understanding, and I expected my side of the story to be printed. And I told them, okay, if you don't, you've got her letters, you've got the past, you know, I'm willing to discuss it. They discussed nothing. They were slimy little rats. And so I said, right, fair enough, if that's the way you want to play, if you want to play dirty with me, then you see what happens. And I only sent the stuff afterwards, okay? So I've done my best to bring a court case. And don't forget, I was using Helga Wessenberg in Norway at the time. Because the only reason I found out about these newspaper stories is because he sent me the article, which I had to pay for to get translated. I had to wait a long time before I got all three newspaper articles translated, and I had to pay for them, you see, and it was... Yeah, but the point is, what are you saying, what is Heidi saying I've lied about? It's not the point.
Yes, it's your point, but it is there, and I have talked about these things many times.
Yeah, but what...
Well, something.
Yeah, I do,
I hope your lawyer will contact me. Together.
Yeah, but the thing is, you see, I feel you are going to try to put him off, aren't you? You're going to tell him
I will tell you, but I will. And I hope he will listen to me when I tell him what I have done and where the case is, and
what
has been done in the case, and what the state lawyer are saying about it. And I hope he.
Well, you see...
I hope I will do something with it.
Well, don't try and tell me that the newspapers are blameless. They're the ones that, they're the ones that are at fault, because if someone is accused of, you know, threatening to kill three sets of people, a little boy, I mean, I'm not going to stand this, and also the rape. Something funny going on. If Westenberg tells me in 1995 attempted rape, and it turns out to be rape, then I'm not having it. And, you know, I need to know which police station Heidi complained about the rape, sorry, it's attempted rape of a Bergen shopkeeper. That's definitely the case, because she's told other people. Okay, and I need to know which police station to get in touch with them, because I need supporting evidence.
I'm sure he will give me his thoughts about it.
But you said you've done your very best to find out about this so-called letter I've written threatening to kill that little boy. Now, why can't you get the Bergen police to get in touch with the parents of Johansson? Because if...
Many letters. And they said they don't know where they are. So I don't know what shall I do with
it. You see, the thing is this, when I was arrested in 1990, they had several letters in the police station. Well, they were copied, so Heidi must have the originals. Well, you see... Yeah, well, the thing is, you see, when I was with the police in 1990, no letters came up threatening to kill her son. Police, in 1990 had several of those letters, but they did not ever tell me, and they never mentioned once anything about threatening to kill her son. Now, this is a serious allegation, and I'm sure that they... knew about it at the time. Now, Krogvold, who was in charge of the case, he must remember if a letter came in saying I threatened to kill that son. Now, I never wrote any letter, and I'm going to go all the way on this, because, you know, I won't have the public thinking that a Muslim man threatens to kill little boys. I'm not having it, you see. So, what if Heidi says Goodman Johansson's parents had this letter, then the proper thing to do is to get back in touch with them. Okay, isn't that right? No, but they will remember, if Goodman Johansson's parents had the letter, right, then they will remember if they saw the words threatening to kill that little boy, weren't they? I've kept a copy of the letter, I sent them everything, I've spoken to a very nice chap, another policeman called Henrik Dudstadt. He is a very nice man, and he, when I saw him, you know, he was telling me about his family. He went shooting in the mountains, and he thought Heidi would never marry. He thought they were, she was crazy, and so did the interpreter. She also thought Heidi was sick, but no one told me anything about rape or threatening to kill that little boy. And this is the basis of my attack on Heidi and the newspapers. Now, the newspapers have to come to court. They have to have some responsibility, because I can't believe that they don't check that story out and see the letters. All the reporter said to me was that Heidi told me this. I didn't know whether it was true or false, but that's what Heidi told me, and that's what we printed. Now, that's very irresponsible journalism, and it's all based on a lie, and they can't print it. So my defense will be, I mean, I'll have my day in court. I'll give up my job. I won't work. I'll come specially over. And my defense will be that if the newspapers want to print that rubbish, then they have to print my reply. And if they don't, then I'll do my own thing. Okay, and then we'll see. Do you actually have juries, or do you have just three judges, or one judge, or what? In your court. If I want to take Heidi, Yes.
The person is getting or not. It will be one judge at the first time, and later maybe it will be a jury.
Yeah, jury, that'd be better. So how long do you think, if my lawyer decides that I can bring a case, how long do I have to wait? What's the waiting list?
I don't know, it's been a long time.
Yes. So it's going to be next year, really, isn't it? Okay, well, I'm certainly determined to do this, because Heidi isn't the only girl that's like this, and I'm not, you know, doing it just because of her. It's because, you know, I'm sick and tired of similar people, and you know, it's such an awful thing to say that I have to do it. Now, I know I've done a lot of hanky panky, and but it was basically all aimed at exposing Heidi and telling my side of the story. What's the difference between the newspapers saying I'm basically garbage to the whole country and me telling my side of the story to the whole country? There's no, in principle, there's, you know, it's press freedom, isn't it? The freedom of the press, and I can say I'm the press. I have a right to speak. Yeah, but it was their photograph. Her name was in the papers. No. She didn't put my name in the papers. Heidi didn't, but she. I'm sure. So the newspapers didn't want to, but they would have. But I'm sure Heidi wanted them to say so. Yeah, but she could not have known that I'd see the newspapers, could she? I'm sure she thought that I would never read them. No. Well, you see, the only reason I started calling her was to ask her. You see, even in the police station, can you believe it? Even in 1990, when I was arrested, I couldn't. She didn't even let me speak to her because I would have exposed her. You see, so even in the police station, I can't talk to her. I can't get any answers in writing or phoning and I'm finding it pretty hard to get answers even through you. Look how long it's taken, almost 3 years to get the news that she's making a rape allegation, you know. And you know, please understand that I have every right to find out and ask her, and you know, because I'm going to be angry. It's quite obvious that when you read these things, you're going to be angry, that naturally a man is going to try and get in touch with the girl, and if he doesn't, he's going to lose his temper. So I have every right to question her, and when you read the letters that I've written to her, you know, he's saying, you know, you say, oh, Fareed, every man takes advantage of me, they all want me for sex and they use me, I hate all men. And then I find out, you know, a few months later, at the same time, she's sleeping with two men at once, and unprotected sex. She, you know, that poor boy Daniel, you know, no one was sure who the father was. And she was she told me she knew deep down she might catch AIDS. You know, and so this kind of behaviour deserves to be exposed. It really does. You know, but at the end of the day, how am I going to prosecute Heidi if you, the police, want to prosecute me?
We are not prosecuting you, as I have told you.
Yeah, I know that, but if I come to Norway, you said I'll be arrested. So how am I going to overcome this? Yeah, but, I mean, I don't want to be arrested at the airport, do I? Hmm?
That's why I'm telling you, you have to do these things with your lawyer.
So, I mean, an arrangement. Yeah. Because basic... Huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's because... I see. And the basic reason for that is all these letters, isn't it? That's right, yeah. Because it's obviously, I know it's causing a lot of, you know, a lot of pain, understandably, but obviously... And I hope you tell them, because I hope you tell them why. And then I hope they go, maybe you can send them the newspapers and then they will understand why. Mm. Good, good. That's nice of you. Yeah, well, maybe, I know I'm not crazy, you know, I mean, you know, you can ask the newspapers to print my side of the story. Well, that's right, I wonder why. Why is that then? Yeah, I have, and they refuse to say anything. They just say, oh, it's, can't remember anymore, it's a long time ago, you'd have to speak to my editor. I've told the editor that, you know, I want a front page apology, I want £50,000, or else, you know, I'll just continue the campaign. And I said that I'll ask my lawyer if we can subpoena the journalist and the editor to court, because what those people have to come to court, there's no doubt. And also Dr. Brock, Heidi's psychiatrist at the time, has to come to court because I want his notes at the time. He told me certain things and I want him to repeat them in court, you see. I phoned him today and he said that Heidi is not seeing him anymore. She's using other therapists. You see, but I want a lot of people to come to court, and,
But it will be at that.
Hmm.
What it will be.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think within 2 weeks he has spoken to you, but, I mean, to be honest, I'm still campaigning against Heidi, I'm still sending stuff out. Hmm? You're still getting calls today, are you? Yeah, that's right, good. Well, you see, I want to make Norway in general, I want to raise the profile of the fact that it's not just, I mean, I actually do not like a lot of Muslims myself. I campaign against the wrong things that I see Muslims doing, and I've got into trouble in Islamic magazines here, you see. And I don't like anything in the Middle East. I think the whole of the Middle East is wrong, you see. So I am not biased in favour of Muslims, you see, because I criticise them a lot. And I, you know, I do myself damage here in England, okay. But I will have to make Norwegians aware that it is not only Muslims that don't treat women well, because a lot of them do not treat their women well, that's for sure. But a lot of Norwegian men do not treat their women well, and that is obvious by this case between me and Heidi. That's obvious, you see. And I have to raise the profile of my point that men over the whole world treat women like shit. And also, I'm very much against abortion, you see, and I like to publicise this. And and the fact that many, a lot, so much cheating goes on, that I think maybe half of Norway is on second marriages, and you know, the kids don't know who their fathers are, or they take a long time to discover who their fathers are, and family breakup. And I'm making a social statement as well, you see. Yeah, okay, well, I'm prepared to come to an arrangement so long as I have my day in court, and so long as I prove to the satisfaction of the court, you see. But I'm also worried that I'm not going to get a fair trial. Yeah, because I know how the police treated me when I got back here to England, and you know, the sort of stuff they were saying in... Yeah, but the police certainly weren't, you know, I'm afraid. And, you know, I mean, I've been told that Norwegians stick together against the foreigner. Or families stick together anyway.
Love is more than water, isn't it?
Is what?
You know what we say.
Blood is thicker than water. Oh yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, I mean, blood, that's definitely a saying here, blood, yeah, quite right there, yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, look, can you just tell me, you must remember one or two things, what am I supposed to have lied about? But will you see, if you don't want to tell me, will you tell what? Yeah, but I no, you, I mean, is it the, I mean, what I mean, I honestly can't remember anymore. Was it the fact, is she saying that her boyfriend didn't take heroin? Is she saying she had no abortions? Is she saying that...
And all the other things is the things I will...
Yeah, but you do... You do... Yeah.
My case. I don't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
That's the point. The only thing I am investigating is the case between you and Hayden.
Yeah, you see, I read in the newspapers that Runar Schoen, her husband, said that these reports were completely false. You see, so basically, Heidi's private life is part of this case, because what I'm saying is that it's not completely false. It's completely true. So, you know, these things have to be of concern to you, and have to be, they are central to the case. And so, I really don't, because when we have a court case, people always talk about, the lawyers in the court always try and talk about the past, the sexual past and the lies and everything about the defendants.
Yeah. Talking about.
Yeah.
And I feel that that's the right way to do things.
Yeah.
So if you can get him to call me when he has...
Yeah, he will. He has your number and he will... Okay. He'll be in touch, yeah. Okay. All right then. Okay, Cole. Thanks a lot. Right, bye.
Hi Luan.
Yes, hello Heidi, it's Fareed here. Hi. Sure.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
I'm not interested in talking to you, Fareed.
Well, we've got a court case coming
I'm
up.
I can't. So don't call back here.
Well, I have.
Lost, Hello?
Yeah, you got something to hide then, have you?
Huh?
Got something to hide, have you?
No.
So why don't you talk?
No.
You're not Heidi, are you? Yes, hi, good morning. Doug Lingoff, please.
Lingoff?
Yes, hi, Mr. Lingoff. It's Fareed Al-Diwani here from London, regarding Heidi Schoen. My lawyer has been in touch with you, I understand.
Yes?
Yeah, well, he tells me that you're going to put me on a plane straight back home.
Yes, of course.
So how am I supposed to attend court to sue Heidi?
Well, that's your problem.
Well, I know it's my problem, and what do you propose to do to help me get some justice so that we can so that I can finally question Heidi? Are you attempting to pervert the course of justice?
Yes, but I think you are, have...
Are you...
You should stop writing about Heidi.
Hmm, well...
To this, several...
Yes, I told you the newspapers first give me compensation and apologise, then I stop. I've told you this long ago.
Yes.
Yeah. So, they are the ones who must come to some deal.
But I have intended to try to prosecute you in England now. So I'm going to send the cases by the authorities.
Well, I thought
the police in England, if you don't stop.
Well, I won't stop, so you can certainly carry on and try, but I thought you'd tried before and failed.
We have tried before, but you don't stop the...
Yeah, but how are you going to succeed now if you failed before? Because the principle is still the same. I have the freedom to write my side of the case and tell the people of Norway. Your newspapers...
You don't have the freedom to tell the people of Norway, as you said.
Yes, I do, because your newspapers have the freedom of speech to tell Norway. I have the same freedom of speech.
That's not correct. So,
why not?
I think we have to do...
Why is that not correct?
...to the police in Britain.
Well, they're not going to help you, I can assure you that. But I've spoken to Heidi this morning. I have her number, 871898. And she still refuses to talk to me because she's got too much to hide, you see. So I've got her number. You can give her a call now on that number. Have you got her number?
No, I
don't. Well, have you a pen?
No, I don't want her number.
Oh, you don't want her number? Okay. Well, I'm just trying to ring her up to ask her about these lies, you see, and you yourself are unable to tell me anything about threats to kill her son, about the rape, you know, so I am entitled to get answers to these questions, and you will not succeed in doing anything about me in England because we have laws here that give us freedom of speech, you see. So you're wasting your time, but I hope you try, because you'll waste your time and your money, and, well, not your money, but the state's money. But the thing is, you see, I will carry on no matter what. I've been carrying on for 3 years already because of what those newspapers have said and what I did before, you see. Now, I believe there's a cover-up with your police, not just in German, but mainly in Bergen.
Have you spoke to your lawyer?
Yes, I did. I spoke to him this morning. He's just got back from holiday, so I'll speak to him again on Monday. But, you know, I told him, I don't care what it costs, I want that girl in court. I want to expose her in court. You see, and if you can ring the newspapers up and you tell them that it's most unfair that they don't print my side of the story, and it's obvious, I've obviously got a case, and you must blame the newspapers, not me. If I had any doubts, if I was wrong, if I were a liar, I'd have stopped long ago, but I know I'm right. I just have to know why a girl goes to the police and says I've raped her, why I cannot have things being said to the whole of Norway that I threatened to kill her son.
You know, you have asked the police in Bergen about the...
Yes, I have. I've asked them... That's right. I accept that, but I... Toriel Sauter has... certainly tried to get some answers from the Bergen police. She has tried, so if she tries, why can't you try? But the thing is this, my lawyer, who told me this information, is also a bit funny. He's covering up something, because I've asked him repeatedly to give me the details, and he refuses. And it costs a lot of money to employ another lawyer. I have employed another lawyer, and I have told him 4 months ago, he's had my stuff for 4 months, but because he's so busy, he hasn't had time. So in the meantime, I do my own stuff. But the thing is, I mean, there are Norwegians who sympathise with me, who understand my situation, and I've been encouraged by their support. But, you see, you must put the blame on the newspapers and Heidi, not me. I'm only doing something that any embittered man would do who suffered terrible injustice.
Well, that's your point of view.
So, I mean,